Amen, amen. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful we serve a God of signs and wonders. Amen. And if you're like me, you probably just sit sometimes and wonder about his wonders. And, I have questions sometimes about creation or about what I see. And I know there are scientists that would offer answers, and they would want to give explanations, astronomers, physicists, and so on, talking in terms I wouldn't understand anyway. But I wonder. Our Earth is spinning at a very amazing speed. We don't feel it, but it is. It is. If it slowed down a little bit, if it speeded up a little bit, there would be drastic changes. But our God has ordered it just so. Now, centrifugal force means that things are going to be flung away from whatever is spinning. How come our atmosphere stays the way it is? How come it doesn't dissipate into space? How come it stays? Because of gravity. Okay? Well, how did God make gravity? Or, if we didn't believe in God, how did gravity appear? And how does that gravity function on a planet, on a moon, on rings, on a solar system, in a galaxy? It just expands and expands. It's gravity. But who made it? How did it happen? Why does it continue? I wonder about these things. No answers except God. And he's a mighty God. Ah, hallelujah. I'm glad I know his name. I'm glad I feel his presence. I'm glad I can sense his touch. Hallelujah. And oh, I'm so glad I'm filled with his spirit. A mighty God. Amen. Now, all of those nature things, astronomical things, galaxy things, universal things are wonderful, but they're not going to last. You are going to last forever. And the mighty work that God does in your life for salvation is what's going to last forever. Mighty God. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. We preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The apostle is saying nobody needs to be left out. It's every man, every woman, everyone is included. And here's the good part, verse 29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God. I'm so thankful he works in me. I look out and I see his work. The tilt of the earth, 23 and a half degrees. It's another thing that's so amazing. How come it stays that way? And it's just that amount that affects the seasons. We're moving in our orbit, and we're in the northern hemisphere, and we're spinning. But that angle is just enough that the rays of the sun do not hit us directly enough to warm the temperature. And so, we're in fall. It'll soon be winter. But praise God, we continue the orbit, and then we'll be tilted back towards the sun, and it's spring and summer. God is a great God. Praise God. But his working in me mightily is what I rejoice in. Praise God. You can be seated. God bless you. So good to see those of you who were away back home. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. And some who are not well in body, some who are having to do other responsibilities, we're glad you're here. Praise God. And the opportunity for us to meet together in the presence of the Lord is awesome. And I'm thankful for the mighty work that the Lord has done. Now, Isaiah 57, these are some of the verses that we've been reading because we're reading in Isaiah right now in our Bible reading. But I read 57:15 here just recently, and Isaiah is recording the words of the High and Lofty One, and he writes it that way: "Thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity." That's how great he is. He lives in eternity. We live in time. October 1st, my goodness. It's just amazing how that has gone through this year, and already we're on the cusp. What a word, huh? We're on the edge. We're approaching the end and the beginning of a new year. I better not hurry it up there too much. Let's enjoy what we've got left of this one before we look ahead to the next one. But our God inhabits eternity. He doesn't turn the calendar. He doesn't look at his watch. He doesn't wonder how long the message is going to be. My wife does. But and so I try to make it long for her benefit. But the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, says, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him." With who? "With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." Let's go ahead and put Isaiah 57:15 on the screen, because I'm going to stay here for just a little bit and make this message longer. A contrite and humble spirit is who the Lord invites to be with him. Wow. Not the high and mighty, not the wise and noble, not the ones who are impressed with their abilities and so on. And I acknowledge there are those who have great ability, great knowledge, a great sense of how things can be, and mechanical aptitude, and able to do some amazing things with technology. All of those things, we thank God for them. But I'm the contrite and the humble, because I want to be with him. Praise God. I want to know his presence. And this is what he does: to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. I want that revival. I want that restoration. I want to walk in his presence and know the power and the blessing that he's provided. He's the one who's high and lofty. He's the one whose name is holy. He inhabits eternity. He dwells in a high and holy place. But yet he invites us to come and be with him. Praise God. And he says, "I'll revive you. I'll restore you. I'll regenerate you. I'll redeem you." Praise God. And he does all of those things because his spirit can dwell in us. And oh my, what a tremendous revival that comes as a result of his power and his blessing that dwells in us to revive. Amen. It goes right to the heart of the issue. It goes right to the heart of the individual. And I'm thankful that the Lord is able to provide in that means, in that way. The contrite are those who have been crushed by circumstances, who have difficulty in their situations. But we change because we're looking to the Lord and we allow his spirit to come into our hearts and our lives. Thank God for his working. Now I'll try to speed up. The Ephesians 1 and 19 talks about the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. We're the ones who experience the greatness of his power because we believe in the greatness of his power. We're not just trying to get by on our own. We're not feeling we're self-sufficient, that I don't need God, I don't need the Bible, I don't need a pastor, I don't need the church. I'm going to do it all myself. Until situations really get bad. And then how's that working out for you? Oh my. I'm thankful that our God hears our cry, hears our prayer, amen, and reaches out to us. We believe according to the working of his mighty power. That's how that verse ends. Praise God, the working of his mighty power. I'm thankful that there is that exceeding greatness of his power, an exceeding greatness of his might. I'm thankful for the blessing of the Lord that continues to reveal that. And my understanding, my knowledge experiences and expands to what God is able to do in my life. Now, it doesn't just happen in a vacuum, in a situation with nothing going on. It's usually my needs that reveal his power. It's usually my circumstances and situations that bring about the moving of his hand in my needs. Praise God. And you can't have a victory without a battle. And so, I don't need to shy. I don't rejoice about the battle. I don't jump up and down. Oh, goody, another battle. But I don't shy away from them either because I know him. I know his power. I know his greatness. I know his might. It's exceeding. It's abundant. And it's a power that works in us. Now, Ephesians 3:20, just so powerful, so wonderful. Now, unto him that is able. You can stop right there and say, now. Not just yesterday. We read about the power of God being displayed in the scripture, and it's exciting. But it's now. Praise God. Now is when I need him. Now is when I can trust him. Now is when I can receive him. And he is able. Praise God. It doesn't matter what the circumstance. Doesn't matter what the requirement. It doesn't matter what the need. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's incredible. Praise God. Amen. And when we believe, we receive that because of his power that worketh in us. Oh my. I'm thankful that that opens up all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of means and measures by which God is able to demonstrate his incredible power. The Apostle Peter wrote about promises. He said they're exceeding great and precious promises. Praise God. And he knew what they were because he experienced it on the day of Pentecost, and he's the one who got up and preached about it and gave direction that was necessary. This is 2 Peter 1:4. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Praise God. I'm thankful we can repent and we can have a change from our human nature, our sinful nature, to move into the divine nature with all of its power, all of its purity, all of its goodness, all of its righteousness, all of its holiness. Amen. And we make that exchange to say, God, I want you to change me. God, I can't make it on my own. God, I can't provide for myself. I'm not sufficient in myself. I need you. And as a result, I'm a partaker of the divine nature, and I escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Something to escape? Oh, yeah. And thank the Lord, the divine nature moves us into that realm, and we know the power and the blessing of partaking of the divine nature, escaping the corruption, escaping the problems, escaping the difficulties, and moving into the realm of his power and his goodness. No wonder Paul committed himself to say, I labor, I'm striving. He wasn't just sitting back and folding his arms, crossing his legs, saying, okay, God, I'm waiting, I'm ready. Go ahead, Do your work. No, he had to understand, and he recognized there's promises that I've got to reach for. There's experiences that I've got to have. There's knowledge that I've got to gain. There's revelation that I've got to receive. And I know his power is going to work in me mightily. It's desire. Desire. Caleb is 85 years old. He was one of the ones with Joshua, the 12. We can't remember the other 10. We remember Joshua and Caleb because they were positive, because they believed the promise, because they knew God was going to do the work. They acknowledged there was giants. They acknowledged what was going on in the world, but they said, we can eat them for lunch. Let's go. God's given us the land. But the majority listened to the majority, and 40 years they wandered. That's a long detour. I'm glad, babe. You know, I'm glad for the construction as we drive to Anchorage or coming back or whatever. And I'm glad for the flag people and all of those sorts of things. But I'm glad it's not a 40-year detour. 4 minutes, maybe. And not even 40 minutes. That's good, isn't it? Praise God. 40 years. But here's Caleb. He's saying, give me my inheritance. And he's even saying, give me this mountain. What? What's an old man like him wanting with a mountain? He said, I've wholly followed the Lord. I know what faith brings. I know what victory he provides. And even if there's giants, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. Desire was within that old man who recognized God can do it. God can provide for me. God can minister for me. Praise God. And here we are, hearing what the apostle says. We walk not after the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We pray for those prodigals. We pray for those that need healing. We pray for those that we're teaching and reaching out to and desiring. God, bring them into this truth. Let them know how good and mighty you are. Let them experience your goodness and your might and your blessing. Praise God. We cast down imaginations. We bring every high thing, every thought, and the captivity and the obedience of Christ. And we're saying, God, you do the work. God, you manifest your power. God, you show what you can do. Praise God. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. No, we're wrestling against spiritual elements that are trying to pull you down and deny what you can receive in the things of the Lord. It's a spiritual battle. We need spiritual armor. But we resist that roaring lion. I don't know. Some of you who've been here a long time, may have in Alaska a long time, may have seen that lion in Anchorage. It was on, I want to say Mountain View, but that's not the road it's on. It's the street that Brother Springer's church is on now. Okay. It is Mountain View Drive. Okay. So that cage was there, and that lion was lying in that cage, maybe 6 by 10. Anybody remember seeing it? It was sad. That lion just laid there. It would look at you, and then it would just go back to, well, it wasn't eating. There wasn't anything in the cage to eat. I felt sorry for that lion. But had that lion been in its natural environment, I wouldn't be standing there 6 feet from it looking at it. Because it would be roaring. It would be extending its claws, its talons, and reaching out for me. And that's what the devil does. I don't feel sorry for him because there's a bottomless pit waiting for him. Amen. Praise God. It's not a 6 by 10 cage. It's a bottomless pit. And he's going to be there for 1,000 years. Praise God. And then he's going to a lake of fire. I don't feel sorry for him, because I have to resist that roaring lion every day, because he's after me. He's after you. And we got to maintain that vigilance and be delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That's what Paul said, 2 Timothy 4:17. He said, there wasn't anybody that stood with me, but the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me, and he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. Praise God. And I'm thankful that we have that same testimony of how the Lord has delivered, how the Lord has provided, how the Lord has blessed. Praise God. And his might is what I rely upon. His might is what I pray for. Amen. Paul prayed and said, you need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I pray that prayer. Oh, God, strengthen me with might by your Spirit in my inner man. I need it, God. I need your might. I need your power. Praise God. And I'm thankful the Lord honors his word. Those disciples went forth preaching everywhere, and the Lord was working with them and confirming his word with signs following. Praise God. No wonder Paul was committed to preach, to warn, to teach every man, everyone that he came in contact with, everyone that he wanted to impart this wonderful truth, the goodness of God that leads to repentance and the power of the Lord that needs to be there. No doubt he used his powers of persuasion. Any way that he could. He no doubt talked about the treasures of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord and the goodness of God. And he declared in the end verses of Romans 8, I am persuaded nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he went through a whole list of things that he said, I know God helps us overcome. That's a display of his might. But then he changed his approach. In 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. If all of the testimony of his goodness, of all of the experiences that you can share of what God has done for you, doesn't move people, maybe you got to switch and say, you know, hell was not made for you. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But if you're deceived by him, if you choose to follow him, if you end up obeying him, that's where you're going. The terror of the Lord. Amen. I'd much rather talk about how God healed me, how God delivered me, how God provided for me, how God ministered, and then tell your testimonies, praise God. I borrow them all the time. This is what God has done. This is what God did, praise God, and the blessings of the Lord. But sometimes when they're not moved, when they're not listening, maybe I should switch to the terror of the Lord. Amen. And ask God, Lord, really deal with them and help them to understand the terror of the Lord. Paul said, I persuade, knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade. Oh, God, help us and let his power and his might work in us mightily, because he does a good work. Philippians 1:6 lets us know, confident that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We hear the sound of that trumpet. We hear the voice of the archangel. We hear that shout, praise God. And all of a sudden there's a change, a transformation that takes place within us. Immortal taking over the mortal. Corruption being banished by incorruption. Praise God. And we move into his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God that that is going to happen. It is going to take place. And the blessing of the Lord is going to overcome all of the things and the situations that we face. And we move into his presence and into his power. Okay, here's one you got to put up. Psalm 41:5. I'm thankful for, I talked about the wonderful works. So many wonderful works we can't keep track. So many wonderful works that amazing in our, I'm sorry, chapter 40, verse 5. This is the recognition of how the Lord is able to do the wonderful works and display them for our benefit, and the psalmist is saying, I'm paying attention, God, I'm seeing, I'm not just letting it go right over my head. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Praise God. Amen. He's not cataloging them. He's not categorizing them. He's simply exclaiming, oh God, you've done so many wonderful works, and thy thoughts which are to usward. Imagine that. The creator of the universe thinks about you, thinks about me, and not just a thought here and then, not just something random, but many. Praise God. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Oh, the wonders. Oh, the mighty working of our God. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Hallelujah. So Paul is excited about it. And he's thrilled with it. And he wasn't there on the day of Pentecost, but he probably heard Peter and all the others say, we spoke the wonderful works of God. And that's what Paul would do as he's preaching, the wonderful works of God. His experience before King Agrippa and Governor Festus, he's telling them about his testimony. There was that light. And it was brighter than the noonday sun. And I heard the Lord speak to me, the resurrected Christ, the one that was crucified, the one that was buried, the one that rose from the dead. Praise God. I heard him, and he helped me. He changed me. And I continue on in his word. Praise God. And he assured them, this thing was not done in a corner. I know you know. And the king would kind of laugh and satirically, sarcastically say, almost? You're persuading me to be a Christian? And Paul very emphatically answering, I would that all them that hear me would be all together and not just almost like me, except for these chains. Amen. And thank God those chains did not stop him. He kept going. He kept proclaiming. He was persuaded. Praise God. And he let them know the power of the Lord would be manifest in a wonderful way. We know that shipwreck story when he said, the angel of God stood by me, whose I am and whom I serve. Now, we might question, that's a display of God's might? For him to be in a shipwreck? For him to be in a storm for 2 weeks, for him to go through all of those difficulties, yeah. Because every one of them got ashore safely. Not one of them drowned. Over 200 of them, almost 300 of them. None. No lives were lost. Praise God. God knows how to bring you through. Hallelujah. And he said, fear not. He said, be of good cheer. I believe God. Amen. And then when they got ashore, and when they're making a fire, and Paul is busy picking up wood to add to the fire, he didn't just stand there. He didn't just wait for others, you know, to do the work. He stepped right in. And that snake bit him. And the people watching said, oh, he escaped the sea, but now look at this, a serpent. Surely this is judgment. Shook it right off into the fire. I wonder, Brother Alex, did it look like a hot dog? No, a hot dog looks way better than a snake. But did it expand? Did it burst? Now, that's probably a terrible thing to imagine here. But I imagine it wiggled. I imagine it hissed. Oh, man. I like to think that's what God's going to do with that old devil. Praise God. He's going to put him in the fire. Amen. And I don't care what he looks like. I don't care how he acts. I'm not going to be there. You're not going to be there. Praise God. We're going to be dancing on streets of gold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're not going to be the only one running. Amen. There's going to be a whole bunch of us running. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dancing and worshiping, carrying on. Or else just standing there in wonder. Oh, my Jesus. Amazing. Amazing what's available for us. The exceeding greatness of his power. In Ephesians 1:19, the working of his mighty power. Now, I need to remind you, Titus 3 and 5, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. No, it's according to his mercy. He saves us. And then look how the apostle enumerates the salvation of God. By the washing of regeneration. What's he referring to? Washing of regeneration. Praise God. Washing has to do with water. Water has to do with baptism. Baptism has to do with the name of Jesus Christ. And that power is there. The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That Holy Ghost that he promised clear back in Isaiah 57:15. The high and lofty one. He inhabits eternity. His name is holy. He said, I dwell with him and I pour out my spirit on him. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord that we know the goodness of the Lord and the blessing that he's provided for us. God working in you. Is what Paul said in Philippians 2:13. Now, Philippians 1:6 is where he said, I'm confident that God is going to complete that work. He's going to continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then it's going to be complete. Then it's going to be perfect. Then it's going to be ended. You won't need that working anymore because you're going to be in his presence forever. But Philippians 2 and 13, it's God working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. What pleases him, not what pleases this world, not what pleases our flesh, not what pleases anybody else or anything else, but what pleases him. We're working it. We're doing it. Praise God. And that will of God is going to be in operation in our lives, and we're going to fulfill his good pleasure. Praise God. That's the purpose of the working. That's the purpose of the might that he displays in us. Amen. And he'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Hebrews 13 and 21 lets us know that's what God's plan is, to do his will, to make you perfect in every good work. Praise God. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Wow. Amazing that God does all of that, providing so much for us. And bringing so much into our experiences in him, praise God, that we can understand his power and his goodness. No wonder we can commit ourselves to it. No wonder we can decide, Brother Thomas, this is the way I'm going to live. This is the way I'm going to walk. I'm not going to listen to what others say and what friends are pulling me on and what opportunities are available for me. I'm going to live for God. Amen. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to do his will. Hallelujah. And so we commit ourselves. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm always going to abound in the work of the Lord. For I know. Amen. I'm glad we can nail it down. I'm glad we can experience it. I'm glad we can be sure of it. I know my labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Yeah, underline that in your Bible. For as much as you know, brethren, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abound in it. Always know the power of God is going to be fulfilled there. Praise God. So I want him. I'm striving for him. I want his mighty work to be at work in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. And he does it every day. Even when I don't feel like I'm aware of it. And then when I do sense what he is doing and how he is purposing and how he is moving me along, praise God, I'm saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Praise God. Make me in your image. Move me in your power. Help me to fulfill your will. Help me to obey your word. Praise God. And all of the prayers that go with that power of the Lord in my life. Amen. Does the Lord ignore them? Does the Lord say, well, maybe? No. No. His response is to honor your faith. Praise God. And to give his presence and his power. And to be blessed in his goodness and his strength. Thank the Lord. Because that's his mighty working. Stand with me, please. God worked for 6 days in creation, and then the seventh day, he rested. You know what he was doing? He was giving us a principle. Not just a Sabbath, not just a day, but a principle of rest. Now, Hebrews 4 tells us we can enter into that rest. Praise God. What do you mean, enter into that rest? You enter into what the Spirit is going to do for you. Praise God. And that power and that blessing that's going to be available. And the goodness that comes with it. There's so much that's there with the rest that the Lord provides. Amen. Now, we're not going to pass up an opportunity here to pray for Missy. We want her to come right now and pray. Dominique is not feeling well. We're going to pray for him. The scripture says, and he's sick among you, let him make the call. Let him make the request. Let him come forth, and we anoint with oil. Why are we anointing with oil? Because the scripture says so. Nothing magic about it. Nothing that says, oh, okay, you, when this touches your forehead now, there's going to be something magic happens. No, we're obeying his word. And resurrection power is what's revealed. Resurrection power that brought life into a tortured body after 3 days. The lungs started working again. The heart started beating again. Blood started flowing again. Yeah. That's what our God does. Praise God. So come. Come and we're gonna pray for these that are not well. And if others of you need prayer for your body, we'll pray for you. Because there's plenty of what God has available.